Praise the Lord. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 34. The Mystery of the Indwelling Christ. Sharing Golgotha. Scriptures. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Colossians 1:24-29. If you really love me, you will keep, obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. Just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. John 14, verses 15-21, Amplified Bible. The secrets of his heart are laid bare, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God, declaring that God is among you in very truth. 1 Corinthians 14:25, Amplified Bible. For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:3-10. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-4. Mashil of Asaph. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast gotten of old, which thou hast redeemed to be the tribe of thine inheritance, and Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual ruins, all the evil that the enemy hath done in the sanctuary. Thine adversaries have roared in the midst of thine assembly. They have set up their ensigns for signs. They seemed as men that lifted up axes upon a thicket of trees. And now all the carved work thereof, they break down with hatchet and hammers. They have set thy sanctuary on fire. They have profaned the dwelling place of thy name by casting it to the ground. And they said in their heart, let us make havoc of them altogether. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. How long, O God, shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why drawest thou back thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom and consume them. Yet God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the sea monsters in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces. Thou gavest him to be food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Psalm 74:1-14. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. Revelation 13:1-9. And scriptures. 3 visions. First vision. As I stood upon the upper parts of the realm of the air, I beheld the Lord fly swiftly over the earth, as one who is preparing the earth for greater things. As the Lord moved in this way very quickly, he beheld that the nations in the earth were covered in a thick cloud of darkness. The veil of death upon the nations had grown very thick, coarse, and was so black that everyone within it was under the pall of death. The entire world had become stagnated under this darkened veil, so much so that men could not see men anymore, nor know them after the things of the Spirit, because the darkness was so deep that no one was able to recognize the other. The darkness was such as was the darkness over the land of Egypt during the plagues, as Moses was to deliver the children of Israel from their cruel bondage. So was this darkness now upon all nations. No one in the earth was outside of this realm of darkness. Man no longer knew what was true or what was error in the things concerning the Lord because of this darkness. Then heard I the Lord utter his voice very loudly and very quickly, and with the might of his two arms he tore off this veil, pulling it off in an instant, removing it as one would remove a blanket that lay upon the ground. So quick did the Lord remove this darkness of the veil, so that the light of the upper heaven could once again illuminate the earth, as it did before Adam fell in the Garden of Eden. It was to this end that the veil was removed. Please read Isaiah 26, verses 6 to 9. And vision. Second vision. After this, I beheld a river upon the earth, which was the living streams of the waters of life, clear as crystal, flowing upon the yet cursed soil of the earth. I saw that the individual drops of water which formed this river were individual members of Christianity who were supposed to be flowing in the things of the Lord, but they were just there, flowing. I did not see anything special about these drops of water in general, but there were in the midst of all of them those who I know the Lord had chosen for his greater purposes. These held their place, flowing in this river, as ones who were subjected to the river, part of the river, but who had the living Christ Jesus the Lord fully developed in them. I saw Jesus very vibrant and alive in some of these drops of water. He was fully alive in glorified flesh, resident within the individual drops. These drops represented the overcomers, those who are in the state of crucifying unto themselves their world in which they live, dying to all that is in the earth. I saw Jesus in them, in the power of his resurrection glory, and in the strength of his mighty power. He tore through the flesh bodies represented by this water, as though someone would tear through an old sack that was worn out and faded. He tore through the old flesh and emerged in the splendor of great glory. But then I beheld another group of overcomers mixed in with this one, who also had Jesus in them. However, the Jesus in this group of overcomers was as though he was gray. His life and power of great glory was not in them, as it was in through those through which he was emerging. In these others, he was gray, motionless, not coming forth as he did not even move one single bit in them. It was almost as if the Lord himself had turned into a gray corpse in the lives of some of these who professed that they were overcoming. So there were two groups, one who was in truth overcoming, and in them Jesus was animated and alive and tearing out through their flesh to reveal the majesty of his glory, and in the other group of overcomers He was grayed out, motionless, without life and power or any glory. I knew this to be a company who had in them perdition, not the living Christ, the imitation of the true, but without truth itself. Even those who profess a high place in the Lord, when in fact they are following the Antichrist, and they are walking in New Age deceptions. When I saw this, I wondered with great wonder that so many were in the state of following the Antichrist, and but only a few had the living true Christ come forth from within them in true power and glory. The number who had the true Jesus come forth in them was a much smaller number than those who held what looked like Jesus, but was really the Antichrist, who was never able to emerge, as there was no life of the Spirit of the Lord in that false Jesus. Small indeed was the number who had the true Jesus emerge, but great and eternal was their power, and mighty was the Lord without measure in them and through them. These who had the living Christ emerge through their flesh became one with the Lord in his power. End second vision. Third vision. The Lord was seated upon his throne in the highest heaven, and all the affairs of men was brought before him. I saw that in the lives of they that overcome, a resolve had been created, which was a resolve to have the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God overtake them and keep them, and that all they sought of him concerning his perfect will would be done unto them. Therefore, the whole lot of their lives was cast into the lap of the Lord, as he did sit upon the eternal throne, and while the whole disposing of their lives was of him. Please read Proverbs 16:33, and third vision, and visions. Although it is hard to know at times, the Lord is as a living flame of fire is in you of a truth. He is there as the candle, searching all the inward parts of your soul, seeking out every corner, every nook and cranny, so to speak, every area where his light needs to penetrate. This candle of the Lord is no different than the tongue of fire that was upon the heads of those who waited in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. They waited and were baptized with fire. The fire progressively worked in the early saints until it reached also in them the very inner recesses of their souls in their time. For you see, dear reader, the workings of the Lord in your life and the power of the indwelling Christ as a mystery is progressive. It is the forward motioning act of the Lord in bringing to you all that is needed for you day by day by day. The process is as long or as short as what is needed for you as an individual, and you are a unique case, a living stone whereupon this work is being accomplished. On the other side of your life is your natural thinking mind. This is the mind by which the power of your brain and the ability to think works. That brain cannot perceive or know of the Lord in you moving forward as a flame or as a tongue of fire or as one who would cast forth his light into the inner recesses of your soul. The mind is unable to grasp any of this. It cannot know it. All the mind can do is to believe the Lord is working inside, nothing more. As you grow up in the things of the Lord, and as you gain understanding in your daily walk, having defined to you by your personal experience the true definition of overcoming, then you will see in the matters at hand that all you are involved in is designed of the Lord to test your life and to open it up further unto His gaze. The testing of your life and this opening up of your life can be very painful, for it involves the death of your natural thinking. That is the impaling of the cross in you. As the cross is impaled in you, you will in turn enter the suffering fellowship that can only be known by those who yield to such things. And just as Jesus' cross was impaled upon Golgotha, which meant the place of the skull, so too will your carnal mind have driven in it the upward post of your own personal cross. Let me read that again. The testing of your life and this opening up of your life can be very painful, for it involves the death of your natural thinking, that is the impaling of the cross in you. As the cross is impaled in you, you will in turn enter the suffering fellowship that can only be known by those who yield to such things. And just as Jesus' cross was impaled upon Golgotha, which meant the place of the skull, so too will your carnal mind have driven in it the upward post of your own personal cross. The carnal mind is destined to be killed. Again, say it with me. The carnal mind is destined to be killed. One more time. Say it with me. The carnal mind is destined to be killed. Nothing will save it, not just for the overcoming ones now, but in time for all humanity. No carnality will ever be able to be subject to the Lord's higher spiritual order. That living carnal mind in you is true death. It cannot be corrected. It must and is being killed daily in you. Again, no carnality will ever be able to be subject to the Lord's higher spiritual order. That living carnal mind in you is true death. It cannot be corrected. It must and is being killed daily in you. The mystery of the indwelling Christ becomes a reality when you yield to the cross, canceling out your carnal mind. Think of the carnal mind as being the mind that is able to think in this world. Think of the carnal mind as the mind that is being able to think in this world. The mind that is able to function, reason, and be apart from any outside supports as it motions itself through the elements of man's affairs in whatever is happening in this earth. As long as the carnal mind is active in you, it will quell to the best of its ability any knowledge of Jesus in you, who is the mystery of the indwelling Christ. To quell the knowledge of Jesus in you, the carnal mind must merely do one simple thing. It must convince you that you are a god. So the carnal mind will convince you you are a god. It must say to you that you are in a measure equal with the Lord, and that you are high and exalted with the Lord, and that the Lord in your life is there because you deserve Him. As a result, you become someone in which no error can dwell. It is here that another mystery is introduced into your soulish life, even the mystery of iniquity, this time in the form of Antichrist. That Antichrist spirit comes to you then as if it were the Lord himself in full resurrection power and glory. And this spirit of Antichrist, resident in the carnal tissues of your own thinking mind, is able to imitate every part of the heavenly realm as though it were pure truth. Once the door is cracked open to this, it will take up residence in the whole. The imitation of the true will begin in a small measure, but it will grow exponentially in you until every part of your faith is quashed by this Antichrist, which is but unsaved perdition. The spirit of Antichrist will imitate Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the visions and expressions of the heavenly realm, the kingdom of God, and the knowledge of God. This Antichrist is depicted also in the mystery of the great whore, who we see in Revelation 17 as riding a scarlet-colored beast. That is your very own deceived soul. It is in this imitation of the true that we have the highest form of iniquity and therefore the highest level of blasphemy. And speaking of the whore, in her mouth is found the martyrs of the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. She martyrs any comings forth of Christ from within you. And this has happened to many who profess that they know who the Lord is. We have in this hour many people who have known the truths of sonship and of overcoming, and who have known the greater things of doctrine and truth, fall into the maze created by the carnal mind, Antichrist, lukewarm spirit of this day. As I look around at some I have known for decades, I see that they have fallen into this horrid stream of what they think is pure truth. It is, in fact, fallacies of the most blasphemous kind. There are tons of Christians around us now who claim all sorts of spiritual sensations which deliver them into instant equality with the risen Lord. They have a handle on truth. They know that the sensation of spirit they are experiencing is the Lord magnified in them because they are the ones in whom he is well pleased. At the snap of a finger, the Lord will come running to them to prosper them and to give them all that their carnal mind can possibly desire. These are the ones who, when they thirsted, stuck their heads deep into the rivers of water, thus exposing their weakness, and as a result they were disqualified from being part of the Lord's true army. I say now in prophecy to you who are reading these pages, those who have fallen into this fray will not in any wise be part of the man-child company or of the army of the Lord, nor will they take part in the first resurrection. Along with the nations and denominations, they will be judged, and they will suffer the infamy of being crushed by the rock rather than having taken the opportunity to cast themselves upon it to be broken in pieces. These that are thus left out of the Lord's greater purposes number in the tens of thousands. They will not be aware that the thief has stolen their birthright until it is too late, for they will see the manifested sons and daughters of God, and then they will know that they followed Antichrist, not Christ. My words are very sure in this. Here is a simple test for you. If you go to a person who claims to be in ministry with the Lord, there will be one of two outcomes for you. If the ministry is legitimate and is truly walking in the truth of the Lord for this hour, you will come away from them greatly edified and encouraged with the knowledge that you are loved and that you can have Jesus flow in your life ever so freely. If the ministry is false, you will come away thinking you have fallen short and missed the Lord somehow. ask yourself, does this ministry edify me and make me hope in the Lord who is in me, or does this ministry make me think I missed God? Then you will know if the one who claims to be ministry is truly speaking from the throne. The test is that simple. I care not how long a person has been one who has had faith and who has had power in the things of the Spirit. I care not if they are ones who have been known as a great blessing to others in the sonship circles. I care not if they know the Bible inside out and can quote it forwards, frontwards, or backwards. If they claim an equal place in the Lord as one with the Lord, that is, if they think they are in that same high place in the Lord, then flee them. Run from them as fast as you can. Do not take part in their dainty meats, nor in their festivals or feastings. Don't listen to their doctrines or their slants on Scripture. Simply run away as fast as your legs can carry you. I am saying prophetically and in truth that the Lord is in you, if he is but that candle or flame searching out all the inward parts of your soul. If he is in you, the light peering through your inner parts. In other words, if the Lord is gaining ground in your understanding day by day, then that is the Lord. You will be able to discern correctly what it means to be seated in heavenly places in Christ without having your carnal mind elevate you there. You will know in your understanding that the Lord is one with you there because he corrected your life in such a manner as to give you that identity. The whole while you will know that it is because he alone is the Lord and you are his child, made progressively into his very image. I say unto you, dear reader, that the Lord in truth in you will never allow you to think above that which you are, but will instead draw you up more and more as he shines his light in you until the day when you truly do awake in his very image. That day is before us, and it shall surely will come. To be continued, Kenneth B. Fisher.